Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome all to the house of the Lord. Welcome to the house of God and all of you joining us right now online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And it's a good time to be in the house of the Lord right now. Amen. Amen. I feel as though so far I've been blessed. I don't know about you. I have great expectations that the Lord just finished doing wonderful things right now. You just watch and see. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I do want to get started right away with the Word of God. I don't want to take up too much time. Let's go ahead and start with the Word of Prayer. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you and we adore you. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come down right now and open the minds, Lord, and the understanding of your people. I pray, Lord, that whatever right now is hindering them, whether it's lack of rest, lack of sleep, I pray, Lord, right now against distractions. I come against, Lord, right now worries. Worries about life. Worries, Lord, about the day-to-day. I pray, Lord, that your people right now will rest upon you at this very moment. I pray, Lord, that they would relax in your presence and receive from you, Lord, what you have for them with great joy. Be glorified, Lord, here tonight. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will have your way here tonight. And also to everyone who's watching right now online. We bless your holy name forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have your Bibles with you tonight? Only two people have their Bibles tonight. Well, I'm glad we put the scriptures up once in a while, right? Amen. Did you find yours?
I couldn't find it.
You couldn't find it? Well. Well, tonight must be a night because we're getting ready to put up on a screen. And you'll be able to follow us. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to study chapter 19, or a portion of it, I should say. And we're going to start in verse 26. Amen, amen. And the Word of God reads, excuse me, Matthew 19, 26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Amen to that. Thank you for the agreement. Do you agree that God, with God, all things are possible?
Yes.
Well, then why worry and why fear, right? I can close my Bible right now and call it a day. Well, that's it. That's all there is to it. Isn't it right? Do you know what is the context used here? Do you know what the scenario, the situation is? If you have your Bible on the just a few verses, I should say, prior, it's going to have a title, a header. Who is the Lord talking to? He's speaking to his disciples, but it's about the rich young man, the rich young ruler, right? This is where the majority of the dialogue centers around. But right now, he's addressing his disciples. You're right, he's talking to his disciples. I like to use this verse in more ways than just one. I like to use this verse in several ways, but all of them dealing with how God is able to make all things possible for his children. But I want us to I want to show you tonight here a slightly different point of view from this verse. And yes, I do know that the battle is already won Wednesday, you know, here at Baltimore Christian Faith Center every Wednesday night. But this is a message from the Lord for us here tonight. There are three things right now that's being spoken. Right now, what's being spoken about, which is what you've heard so many times, is teaching on wealth, on money, because we have a rich young ruler right now in subject. There's discussion about salvation, and there's also discussion about repentance. Those three things are the key things right now spoken. And right now, as far as the rich young man is concerned, or the rich young ruler, right now, even though he has just about everything that he can think of, including power, I would say that there is only one hope for this young man. That only hope is God. Do you agree with that? I'll be the first one to say that without God, I would be nothing. I would be literally nothing. I could almost say that I came from nothing. From literally. I'm in the negative. I came from the negative. Now, no one can withstand the attractions, the allure of wealth. No one can. It is your desire, it is human desire to experience comfort. Who does not like being comfortable? Maybe someone might say, well, Pastor, I don't care to be rich. Okay. And I'm probably going to believe you. Probably. But you don't ever want to be uncomfortable. Right? And the more and more you have a little taste of comfort, all of a sudden you want a little bit more. Right? You want to improve. You want to outgrow. You've outgrown, you know. It's the next stage in your life. But, you know, let's keep things simple. But it is human desire, it is human nature to want comfort, to want possessions, to want ease of nature.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
You know, I bless the name of the Lord for the man who developed a log splitter. Because right around this time, I'm going to be utilizing a log splitter. I'm not going to be swinging the axe like how I once was about a couple of years ago to light up the fireplace in my house. I don't think I have sinned because I purchased a log splitter. But it's my human nature to want to find ways to do things a little bit easier. And no man has the power to break natural urges. The entanglements are too pleasing, and sometimes, if you allow, they could even become enslaving. Equally, we must understand that no one can create a person's soul. No one can alter your desires. And no one can make anybody seek those things that are above, can they? No one can make someone set his affections on the things above and not on the things of the earth. No one can do that. Only God can, in his own special way. I want to read right now Colossians, where I got this from, Colossians chapter 3. First two verses. I'll give you a few seconds to turn there if you like. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 reads as follows. And then If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things above and not on the things of the earth. If then you were raised with Christ, like the beginning of the verse. Isn't that what the beginning of the verse says? If then you were raised with Christ, you can do everything else that precedes it. But if you weren't, you're going to have a hard time doing that. Does this make sense? In other words, there is no philosophy. There is no psychology. There is no medicine. There is no education. You name it, politics, if you want to call a social movement, nothing can change the soul of a man. Only God can do that.
Amen.
Now, why am I saying all these things right now? Why is it that right now I'm bringing all this to attention, all this to light? There are several things that keep us bound. There are several things on earth, here on earth, where we are living, that we have become enslaved to and potentially never even knew it. And those things are keeping us from receiving our blessing, from receiving our victory, from moving forward, being able to take steps forward. Right now, the word of the Lord says, a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. In verse 23 of Matthew chapter 19. As a matter of fact, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, could the Lord right now be saying that all rich people are going to hell?
No.
We are confident of that, aren't we? Lord, God forbid. And you are right. And you are right. Verse 23, once again, I know it's not on the scripture list, but Matthew 19, 23 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. So then, the disciples say, well, I have a question. Who then can be saved? It's almost like I hear my daughter speaking right now. Daddy, I have a question. And now the disciples say, I have a question. Because they were probably saying that poor people have desires to not be poor. Poor people have inspirations of greater things, of better things. And now it's a natural reaction, it's a natural question for them to ask, well then who can be saved? Because once upon a time we didn't have much and we earned and we work hard for all that we have and we've left everything for you. Well, how about those folks that were just like us once upon a time? Who dream, who seek a better life. And now, this is where the part comes. In verse 26, where the Lord Jesus says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Is it coming together? So 100%, you are right. Not all rich people are going to go to heaven. But you're going to need God. You're going to have to depend on God and not your riches. Amen? You see, man must turn to God at all times and his power. It doesn't matter what your bank account states. It doesn't matter what what your retirement, what your business looks like, or how much money you have set aside, or how much wealth, how many things you own. It is designed, God designed it. Man has to rely on God full time. And not just on God, also on his power. You have to rely on the power of God. You must live the power of God. Because God is the only hope for mankind. Only God can break a man's enslavement to this world. Only God can convert and change and turn and save a man from the doom and gloom of this life. Now, maybe some of you might ask right now, how is that possible? How exactly can God do that right now? Why, it's very simple. The words of our Lord Jesus to the rich young ruler, tell someone like him what to do. And we find that in verse 21. Let me have verse 21 real quick, Brother Dion. Matthew 19, 21. Jesus said to him, now here we go. This is the secret. If you want to be perfect, let's not overlook that. The Lord right now, he didn't say, if you want to be saved, because the rich young ruler says, I've obeyed all the commandments, I've obeyed all the laws, all the statutes, I have done everything. But the Lord's reply is, if you want to be saved, it's not if you want to be saved. He says, if you want to be perfect, the Lord Jesus says, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. If you notice, the Lord Jesus called all of his 12 disciples, one by one, come and follow me. Right? He said the exact same thing right now to the 13th man, so to speak. Do this. Show love. Show kindness. Show mercy. Disentangle yourself from the world system. Disentangle yourself from what binds you, from what has your attention and your loyalty. Be set free from all these things. Give it to the poor. Because when you do that, you're going to have a gazillion more times in heaven. And then, come with me. Walk with me. Be with me day and night. Come and follow me. I couldn't help but to remember the situation where the Lord Jesus crossed over a lake. When he got on the other side, he got off the boat, and the man with the legion came to greet him. And you know the whole story. The man was healed. He was delivered from all those oppressions and possessions, I should say. That man was possessed. He wasn't oppressed. He was possessed. And then he asked the Lord, Lord, can I go with you? I want to go with you, and I want to be with you. And the Lord Jesus said, no. Right? The Lord Jesus said, no. Why did he say no? Because that man was a church planter. That man, come recently to find out, based on through a guest that we had here a few weeks ago, he planted a church in Rome after all the Christians were driven out, all the Christians and the Jews were driven out of Jerusalem around that time. some years after that, I'm not going to quote the amount of years. I don't know if it was, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 years later. He started, I think, the second largest church in Rome. Not to mention, this is a personal theory. I venture to say that he was Jesus' first missionary. Because when Jesus came back around in that region, he was greeted by a couple thousand people. And the Bible doesn't explicitly say why, because they're from a completely different region. But all you have to do is connect the dots. This famous man that everybody knew, who went around beating everybody up, was probably doing that in the nude. Nobody could contain him. Ultimately scandalous to the ninth power. And now this same man is going around and telling everybody what Jesus did for him. When Jesus came around back in that region, I don't know, I think a year later, I believe, 6 months or a year later, over 2,000 people greeted the Lord Jesus because of one man. And it didn't stop there. He started a church for the Lord. Amen? Now imagine this rich young ruler. If he would have just obeyed the master and rid himself of, let's just use, you know, basic economics right now, his millions of dollars, his hundreds of millions of dollars, because he had great wealth. I don't know how much it could be equivalent to, but I'm just throwing a number out there. Many millions of dollars to walk with the Lord Jesus everywhere he went. How wonderful, how awesome. Wouldn't you think that we would be reading his gospel today based upon his account if he truly loved the Lord? But the man with the legion loved the Lord. He experienced something from God. Amen? So, ultimately, what I'm saying right now is a very hard saying. It is a difficult thing for any of us at times to want to comply to. It is difficult. And we try to escape all the demands at times, and we try to escape everything that the Lord places in our hearts. The Lord placed in our heart, I want you to get up today at 3:00 in the morning to pray and seek my face, because I want to show you something. I want to reveal something to you. And we might have the hardest time to do that. The Lord might put in your heart for you to donate your entire paycheck to someone who you know is having a hard time paying their rent this month. But you have no idea where it's going to come from if you do that, and you yourself could be in trouble. But you don't want to put yourself in that situation. So you question yourself, is this really from God? Is this really from the Lord? These are all things, natural things, that we try to reason within ourselves. And we try to explain things away, out of a situation. But it is what Christ said we should do. And the disciples understood it perfectly well. Let me have verse 25 through 27, please. Continuing on in Matthew 19. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" What is it that we're going to have? If it is so hard for a rich man to inherit salvation, well, how about us? Some people say that Peter was well off. He was all right. Some people say that. He was a businessman. Next time I see Dr. Ron, I'm going to ask him, like, Do you know how much was in Peter's bank account? Was he all right? How much land did he, how many boats he had, right? Did he have employees? You know, anything. You got any court records? His work permit? You ever seen his work permit? Like, he's seen all that stuff, you know. They had work permits back then. Mary applied for a work permit. He was telling me about that. I think I told the story up here before, right? But some people believe, and I didn't hear this from him, but some people have read elsewhere that Peter was all right. Peter was okay. You know, he was maybe extra all right. And he left it all for the Lord Jesus. Another one was Matthew. Matthew was extra, extra all right. You know, he was okay. He was not, what do they say, hurting for potato chip money. Right? That's what they say. The lingo the young people say these days is hard to keep up these days. But one thing is for sure. In very practical terms, brothers and sisters, this is what I want you to understand tonight. To receive everlasting life, to receive eternal life, we must all give everything that we have to the Lord. If you did not hear anything that I said, if I've been blabbling and rumbling on and on and on, and it's, you know, somehow turning monotonous, and you've grown tone deaf to what I've been saying, I want you to retain this information. It is very important for you to understand that to receive eternal life, we must give all that we are and also all that we have. Everything. Every single thing. The Lord doesn't want no halfways. God does not want leftovers. He wants all of you. Every single thing. Every single thing. As a matter of fact, some of you who might have known me in the past, I even gave the Lord Jesus my hair. You see, you look at me today, I barely have any. It's almost all gone. I had long hair. It came down my chest. Many people in here, you know, they remember me with the man bun, as Brother Cecil calls it, for, you know, from time to time. Even my hair I gave to the Lord Jesus. He has it all. He owns every single thing. And if I lost every single thing, I would still give the Lord praise because it was never mine anyways. It belongs to God. Every single thing that you have, it doesn't matter what it is. It is your bank account. There, I said it. And every penny, and all of them if you have more than one. It is your house. It is your car. It's your shoes that you're wearing. The socks that you're wearing inside those shoes. If you're wearing socks today, it's cold outside, so I know everybody in here has socks. Every single thing that you have, everything belongs to God. And when I say everything, I include you. You also belong to God and your possession. But how much of that do we oftentimes hold so dear to our heart? How many times do we prioritize other things above God? And we give priority to things that we're not supposed to give priority to, and therefore all of a sudden they become idols. Now all of a sudden you're treading into different territories. I want you to incorporate this into the Battle Is Already Won Wednesday. This is the message that the Lord wanted me to share tonight. It all belongs to the Lord Jesus. The title for this evening's message is Give All We Are. Give all that you are, all that we are, give unto the Lord. Give it to Him. Let Him take over. You want success? You want to be blessed? I'm going to throw in there, you want to be healed? What is it that you want? Have you considered lately? Have I given it all to Jesus? Have I submitted myself 100% to Him? You know, is it an open, are my doors open for the Lord right now? Or do I only have a window opening for Him? Lord, I have a window slot for You where You should be opening up Your gates and allowing the Lord to come in and have His way. We cannot be like the rich young ruler. We cannot have that type of attitude. We cannot hold on to things that are more special, that are more dear than our own Lord and Savior. Amen? It all belongs to the Lord. I had more this evening, but I think right here the Lord is saying that you got the point. And I want you to retain everything here tonight. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we bless Your holy name. Lord, we love You and we worship You. Lord, it all belongs to You. It all belongs to You, Lord. We belong to You. We don't belong to ourselves. Neither, Lord, the possessions that we own. It all belongs to You. I pray, Lord, that we would wholeheartedly submit to You and Your purpose and Your calling. To Your people, Lord, who are ready to the next level, to the next stage. To Your people, Lord, who are ready to the next phase of their life and also their faith. Lord, I pray that they would submit to You. That they would humble themselves and submit, Lord, every single thing, Lord, that's happening, Lord, in their lives. And may they just hand it over to You, every single thing, Lord. May it just not be, Lord, in hard times. May they just not want to give it all to You, Lord, when things are going well. May they also, Lord, give everything to You when things are going amazingly well and wonderful. Lord, we trust in You at all times, every single day. Thank You, Lord, for Your promise. Lord, we love You, and we truly, Lord, do love You. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
It is time for us to give. Let us give generously as the Lord has blessed us. Please stretch up your hands as we pray. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to give. May that which we have given today be pleasing unto You. We have given it in faith, Lord. May it be pleasing unto You as the sacrifice of Abel was pleasing unto You because he gave in faith. We thank You, Father.